So the year is quickly passing. So we're glad that all of you are in the house of the Lord, as already been mentioned. Great to have Brother Easter with us. Lord bless him. Let's give him a round of applause. Brother Easter, come. Glory.
Praise God. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. I just can't stop praising his name. Hallelujah. Oh, I love that song. You thought I was worth saving. Woo! Wasn't that awesome? Let's give all of our singers a great hand. And while you're doing it, let's thank the Lord for all of our musicians as well. My, 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 my. Praise God. Praise God. Amen, amen. This is an exciting church. Praise God. I've heard people say from time to time, you know, let's hurry up and get the announcements out the way, because they consider announcements to be boring. Not here. I tell you what, those announcements are exciting. There's a lot of good stuff going on around this church. Praise the Lord. My, 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 God is here today, and I thank the Lord for his presence. He promised us where two or three would gather in his name, he would be right in the midst. Ladies and gentlemen, Jesus is in the house. Jesus is in the building. He's here. He's here right now. Praise God, and I believe he's going to do a marvelous work again, amen, in this service. I thank the Lord for all of you. Your kindness and your hospitality, amen, is incredible. And you make me feel so at home. I enjoy preaching to this wonderful congregation. I like preaching to people that like preaching. Amen, amen. And so this morning, I have a direction from the Lord for this service. And I have a word for you. Everyone say, God's got a word for me. Amen. And this morning, God's going to serve up some hot bread from heaven's oven. And I hope and pray that you are empty and hungry for the word of God. If you are hungry, if you're able to stand, will you join with me? And we're going to get our Bibles, and we're going to open the two places in the New Testament. First, I want to direct your attention to the Gospel of St. John, the fourth chapter. John chapter 4, and then we're going to skip over to Colossians, amen, chapter 2. And John chapter 4, hallelujah, and we'll pick it up here at verse number 25, amen. John chapter 4 at verse 25. The Bible reads, "The woman saith unto him," speaking of Jesus, "I know that Messiah cometh," which is called Christ. "When he is come, he will tell us all things. Jesus saith unto her, I that speak unto thee am he. And upon this came his disciples and marveled that he talked with the woman. Yet no man said, What seekest thou? Or why talkest thou with her? The woman then left her water pot and went her way into the city and saith to the men, Come, see a man which told me all things that I ever did. Is not this the Christ?" Because can't nobody know you like Jesus know you. Amen. Now let's skip over to Colossians, if you will. Colossians, and we'll look at chapter 2 verses, verse 9 and verse number 10. Colossians chapter 2 and verse 9, the scripture says, "For in him," in Jesus, "dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily." It's all in him. The Father is in him. The Son is in him. The Holy Ghost is in him. Fullness is in him. And ye are complete in him, which is the head of all principality and power. Glory to God. It's all in him. When you got him, you got it all. Amen. This morning, I want to speak to you this topic. I title it, The Seventh Man. The Seventh Man. Let's pray together. Lord Jesus, we honor you and praise you this morning. God, there are people here in this congregation, Lord, that this is their day. This is their day, Lord God, to make a decision for you. We pray for every individual under the sound of my voice, those that are watching, amen, social media, that your spirit will move out and anoint every ear to hear, every heart to receive. Father, I pray that you would not allow one person to leave this room the same way they came in. But God, do a mighty work in us, shake us, quake us, operate on us. But most of all, Lord, save us. This is our prayer. This is our request. In the glorious name of Jesus Christ. And the whole church say, amen. Amen. Look at somebody nearby you and say, the seventh man. Praise God. Let's give the Lord another hand clap of praise. And then you may be seated. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. The Bible is a very, very unique book. The very name, Biblios, comes from a term that means books. It is a book of 66 books. Books of science, books of history, books of drama, books of prophecy, books of adventure, books of romance. It's all in the book. This book will enlighten you. It will educate you. It will change you. There's no other book in the world like the Bible. People have tried to destroy it. People have tried to prove it was wrong. And no matter what the world did toward this book, it still stands. Because the book says heaven and earth will pass away, but this book will abide forever. It is God's light for us. It is our map. It is our guide. It is our sword. Hallelujah. This book is what we live upon by every word of it. It is powerful. Amen. And we need to absorb it. The book is easy enough that a child can understand it. And it's so deep, you could never get to the bottom of it. It is full of wisdom. It's full of power. And there's certain things, mysteries in the Bible that are set there as, I don't know, they kind of like a design to draw us in. And you don't get everything right at the surface. But God wants to pull you in. He wants you to go seeking the hidden treasures. And when you go seeking the hidden treasure, look out, you're going to find some. And one of the most beautiful things that I've discovered recently in the Bible, and I'm no expert on it by no means, but it is very intriguing. And that is the thing I call numerology, or the study of numbers in the scriptures. See, God is a God. He's a God of a pattern. Once God establishes a pattern, he doesn't deviate from it. That's right. And when you can understand the pattern, then you can understand where God is coming from and where God is going. Because he is the Lord that changeth not. And once you get to know him, then you'll get to understand him. And so this thing called numerology, and I've not done a lot of in-depth study on it, just my own personal observation, that I notice in the scripture there are certain numbers that are often referred to or alluded to over and over throughout the Bible. And these numbers have meaning. Like, for instance, the number one. The number one represents unity. It represents wholeness. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one church. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. Then there's the number two. The number two represents choices. It's either the wide or the narrow. It's either the house on sand or the house on the solid rock. You got choices. You go down this road, which is good, and this road, which is bad. There's sin, and then there's salvation. There's heaven, and then there's hell. Duality of choices. The number 3, or 30, or 3,000. To me, it represents maturity. Jesus was 30 years old before he began his ministry. He was in the belly of the earth for 3 days, and he rose again. And all through the Bible, the number 30 represents maturity. Then the number 4, or 40, or 400. Throughout the scriptures, the number 4 seems to represent time periods of testing and trial. Jesus was tempted 40 days and 40 nights of the devil. In the days of Noah, it rained for 40 days and 40 nights. In between the New Testament and the Old Testament, 400 years of silence. And all through the scriptures, the number 4 seems to represent a time period of tests and trials. The number 5. 5 to me represents restoration. Restoration. The number 5 or 50. The first 5 books of the Bible, the books of Moses. Amen. Where God restored his relationship with his people. The number 50, that's where we get Pentecost from. The 5, amen, the 5 weeks, or was it the 7 weeks of salvation, would equal 50 days. So the number 50 or 5 represent restoration. The number 6, oh, you know what the number 6 represent. Anybody know what the number 6 represent? Man, that's man's number. Amen. On the 6th day, God finished his work and he created man on the 6th day. That's man's number. That evil one, 666. And then the number 7. The number 7 represents perfection. That's God's number. Perfection. How many times shall I forgive my brother? 7 times 70 or 70 times 7. Amen. Keep on forgiving them. Hallelujah. Amen. The 7 angels of the churches. And over throughout the Bible, you see that number 7. It represents completion. And then all other numbers, 8, 9, 10, they all have particular meanings. And it's good to know some of these things because we'll discover, amen, in our text today, amen, some of these things being represented. I want to direct you to the Gospel of John, chapter 4, if you will. We're going to start at verse number 1. And we're going to find here one incredible story, amen, in the life of Jesus Christ. One thing I love about the Bible, James said it is a mirror, and sometimes when you look in it, you're going to see yourself or somebody you know. And let's see who we find here. In John chapter 4, if you will, verse number 1, the scripture says, when therefore the Lord knew how the Pharisees had heard that Jesus made and baptized more disciples than John, though Jesus himself baptized not, but his disciples, he left Judea and departed into Galilee. Now, I don't know what reason. It doesn't say exactly why he decided to leave, but there was some discussion going on about baptism. The Pharisees were in a big fit about Jesus and his disciples and how they baptized. You know, people are still fussing about that today. Amen. Jesus said, you know, forget all this stuff. I'm leaving. Amen. And so he got on the road and he left Judea and he departed unto Galilee. Now, in between Judea and Galilee was an area called Samaria. Amen. Jews, when they would go from Galilee, amen, to Jerusalem or Galilee to Judea, they would go out of their way to go around Samaria. No Jew wanted to walk through Samaria because there was tremendous racial prejudice in those days. Man has not changed. Amen. The Jews don't even want Samaritan dirt on their feet. But Jesus said, I must go to Samaria. Oh, I'm so glad Jesus is not like everybody else. Glory to God. He'll go to places you wouldn't go to. He'll knock on doors you'll knock on. He'll bring people in that you wouldn't have no thought of bringing them in. I'm glad Jesus is not politically correct. He said, I've got to go to Samaria. He told the disciples, you fellas, you go off and get something to eat and meet me at Jacob's well. And the Bible describes that this incident. It says in verse number 5, then cometh he to a city of Samaria, which is called Sychar, near the parcel of ground that Jacob gave to his son Joseph. It was a historical marker. Now, Jacob's well was there. Jesus, therefore, being wearied with his journey, he sat on the well, and it was about the sixth hour. Now, here's Jesus walking through the Samaritan desert. Brothers and sisters, it was hot. As he was walking across the hot sands of the Samaritan desert, he got weary, he got tired, he got thirsty. And he made his way to Jacob's well. And what's so beautiful about it, the Bible says it was the sixth hour. The sixth hour is 12 o'clock noon. You know what 12 o'clock noon is? It's the hottest time of the day. In a Samaritan desert. Listen, y'all. Nobody with good sense is going to be walking out in the desert at the hottest time of the day. Which is precisely why Jesus was there. Because he knew there was a woman who went to the well at the hottest time of the day. Why did she do that? Because all the ladies of that village would go to the well and draw water in the evening when it was cooler. And she didn't want to see no other women. She wanted to go when there'd be nobody else around. Because she wasn't very popular with the women folk. Why is that, Brother Easter? Because she had a lot of men friends. And women that have a lot of men friends don't have a lot of women friends. And you act like you don't know what I'm talking about. You just... So here she come out in the middle of the desert bearing that water pot on her shoulders to get water out of the well. And when she got there, look what she found. A well sitting on a well. All the time she was shocked. She was surprised. How is it that somebody would come out in this heat? But see, Jesus has a way of meeting you in places you never think he'd be. He'll show up in the nightclub. He'll show up down at the prostitute house. He'll show up down in the worst part of town. He'll show up in places you never thought he'd show up. And she approached him and looked at him and she was like, this is incredible. And when she saw him, she recognized right away, he's not a Samaritan. I don't know what it was. Maybe it's the type of clothes they wear. But it was something about him that she knew he wasn't supposed to be there. And Jesus did the unthinkable. He turned around and he spoke to her. He said, woman, give me a drink. She was shocked. Hold on, wait a minute. How is it you, being a Jew, number one, speaketh to me, a woman, number two? Because it was not common for men to even talk to women in public. Because back in that day, sister, they treated you less than human. And ladies, how is it you, being a Jew, number one, speaketh to me, a woman, number two, of Samaria, no less, number three, because the Jews have no dealings with Samaritans. We don't get along. Amen. We're from different social aspects of the status pole. We're not supposed to even be talking to each other. But I'm glad Jesus is not politically correct. He don't care if you're Samaritan. He don't care if you're Spanish. He don't care if you're black. He don't care if you're white. Hallelujah. He's not bogged up with all of this junk that we got in our world today. Glory to God. How is it you ask me for a drink and you don't even have nothing to draw with? You don't have a spoon. You don't have a pot. You don't have a cup. You expect a drink from mine? She didn't know who she was dealing with. But watch this. Watch this. Hallelujah. Then Jesus, in verse number 10, Jesus answered and said unto her, Lady, if thou knewest the gift of God and who it is that saith to thee, give me to drink, thou would have asked of him and he would have given thee living water. Lady, if you only knew. See, that's the answer to the question. How come this whole city not coming to this church? The answer is, if they only knew. Why aren't the backsliders filling up this sanctuary? The answer is, if they only knew. Come these churches all around us and they're not emptied out and coming over here. I'll tell you why. If they only knew the gift of God, it'll change your attitude. It'll change your direction. It'll change the way you look at things. If you only knew. Praise God. I tell you, man, there was a time when I wasn't in this. I was outside. I used to be the one looking at y'all coming to church. Yeah. I used to be the one riding down the street, passing by the church, saying, those folks are crazy. They jump, they shout, they run around, they scream, they holler, they dance in church. Are you kidding me? People act like that in church? Oh, yes. Ain't no party like a Holy Ghost party, because a Holy Ghost party don't quit. You ain't had church till you had church in an apostolic church. You ain't had revival until you had revival in an apostolic church. You never felt God like you feel him. Oh, man. You run to the bottle, you run to the drugs, you run to the entertainment world. If you only knew the gift. Oh, if you only knew what it's like to be filled with the Holy Ghost. Anybody here know what I'm talking about? It's joy unspeakable. My Lord, I wish I knew this a long time ago. I wish somebody had told me this a long time ago. If you only knew. You're trying to find it over here. You're trying to find it over there. Well, it's right here in front of you the whole time. If you only knew the gift of God and who it is that's talking to you. Now, see, sometimes even we need a wake-up call. Us church folk, sometimes we need a wake-up call. Because sometimes we just get too comfortable in this thing. And I tell you, that's one of my pet peeves. Don't get comfortable, y'all. Don't get used to this. Don't take this for granted. We come to church service after service. We feel the presence of God, and then we get used to it. And all of a sudden, it's not so much of a big thing anymore. Come on. I've seen visitors come to our church services, and they walk in the building, and they go, ooh. Ooh, what is this? And we get to clapping our hands and singing, and the atmosphere gets supercharged with his presence, and they looking around like, something's here. My goodness. And that's the way you used to be. That's the way you used to be. Oh, God, give us a new convert spirit. Let this thing get fresh again. Let it get new again. Jesus is here. Jesus is here. I feel him. I feel him. He's in the atmosphere. Jesus is here. Oh, it'll make you shout, it'll make you clap, it'll make you dance, because the man that walked on water, he's walking among the carpet, the blind eye opener, he's here. Hallelujah. If you only knew. You know what you would do, lady? You would ask of me instead of me asking you. You see, everything Jesus was in the spirit, the well was to her in the natural. She was thirsty. But Jesus said, I got some water for you. Oh, I got some water for you. Lady, you will be asking of me. And you know what I'll give you? Living water. Living water. Hallelujah. The woman said, sir, you don't have nothing to drink, to draw with? What? Wait a minute. Hold up. Wait. Let me back up. Verse 11. The woman saith unto him, what did she call him? Sir. Oh, he's sir now. Just a minute ago, he won't know about old Jew. See? The more you stay with him, the more revelation you get. Sir, well, you don't have nothing to draw with. Hallelujah. And the well is deep. How are you going to get that living water? Jesus said unto her, look, verse 13, whosoever drinketh of this water, this natural water, this earthy water, you know what's going to happen to you? You're going to thirst again. See, this world can only offer you a temporary satisfaction. This world can offer you only a quick fix. And you might think, oh, I got it going on now. I'm all right now. I don't need the Lord now. I don't need the church now. I'm doing pretty good. No, you're not. No, you're not. Because what you got is fake. What you got is a facade. What you got is imitation. It's only going to last a little while. You will be at the bottom again. You're going to be hurting again. You're going to be strung out again. You're going to get drunk again. You're going to be in pain again. You will thirst again. But watch this. He said, but whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never, 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 never thirst. But the water that I shall give, it's not going to be in a well, but it shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life. You'll never have to go to another well to get water. The well will be in you. He didn't say, I'm going to give you a cup of water. He didn't say, I'm going to give you a gallon of water. He said, it's going to be a well of water springing up, springing up. Hallelujah. That's why you can't get sick when the world gets sick. You can't get depressed when the world gets depressed. I've got a well of living water. Bahata. I've got a well of living water. Hallelujah. Oh, if you only knew. Hallelujah. Springing up into everlasting life. Man, I tell you what, if you're thirsty and you come to church thirsty, don't sit beside no dry person. Amen. Don't sit beside no dry person. Glory to God. Look for the craziest person in the group. Amen. Find somebody that's on fire. Find somebody that's on the edge of their seat. I want to sit next to her. I want to sit next to him. Put me up front. I want to go to where the power is. I want to feel what they feel. I want to experience what they're experiencing. I want that well of water. I tell you, when somebody's got that water, when they got that living water in them, springing up, if you get too close to them, it'll splash on you. Hallelujah. You'll feel what they feel. Next thing you know, you clapping your hands. Next thing you know, you doing your dance. Glory to God. Oh, if you only knew. My land. Man, if I had known back then what I know now, it would have saved me so much trouble. It would have saved me so many scars from the world. If only I knew. I was looking for this, but I didn't know it. I was thirsty for this, but I didn't know it. I was trying to find it in the clubs. I was trying to find it in making money. I was trying to find it in chasing women. And all the time, what I was looking for, it was right here. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Hallelujah. Come on and get a drink. Come on and get a drink. Praise God. Ooh, I want a drink. It kind of reminds me a little bit of people that like to get drunk. You see, there's some similarities, because the devil ain't nothing but an imitator. He can't create nothing. He just try to imitate what God has done and offer you something substandard. And in church, I find people that are similar to people in the world when it comes to drinking. Because see, this church is like the world's bar. People go there to forget about their troubles. People go there to get some relief from the stresses of the day. Amen. And when people go into the bar, they get up to the bar, and the bartender, that's the pastor, that's their pastor. That's their pastor. And they all beat down with the problems of their life and things not going right, you know, and they want to tell everything to the bartender. And the bartender look at them with compassion and understanding. And he says, I got something for you. And behind him is a wall full of all kinds of spirits. Act like you know. Act like you know. He said, now over here we got these kinds of spirits, and there's some things here that can help you with your problems. And folks belly up to the bar like some people come to the altar. And they say, fill my cup, Lord. Fill it up. And the bartender takes the drink, you know, and just like some people in the church, they're a certain type of drinkers, because everybody's not the same. Everybody's not the same. You got some people that go and they are, oh, what I call social drinkers. They only drink when other people are around. They don't drink at home. They don't drink at the job. They just drink in company of other people. They are social drinkers. And sometimes if people like that come to church, they don't pray at home. They're not spiritual at home. They're only spiritual around other people. Oh, glory. Social drinkers. Amen. Then you got those that are teetotalers, you know, or teetotalers, however you call it. Very sophisticated folk. They walk up in the bar. They dress nice. They look good. Businessman, businesswoman. Hair look nice. Everything looks sharp. They don't want to get wasted. They just want a buzz. And some of them bring their own cup. And they say, give me some. Not too much, not too much. And they put their little pinky out and they take a little. They teetotalers. And we got people like that in church. They come to church looking good. Hair all nicely done, tie on, looking sharp. I don't want to get wasted. I just want a buzz, Lord. I just want a little blessing, just enough to say I'm here. I don't want to be filled up with the Holy Ghost. Just give me a little bit. Teetotalers. And you got that other drinker. Comes in the bar drunk. Comes in drunk. Got drunk at home. Was drunk on the way. And say, I ain't finished. I want to get drunk some more.
would to God we had some apostolic holics that would come into church drunk and say, I want some more. Hallelujah. Give me a drink. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Do we have any apostolic holics? We need some apostolic holics. Hallelujah. Praise God. I'm talking about people that get so drunk on the Holy Ghost that we wonder, can you drive home? When service is over, they walking out in the parking lot like this. And the neighbors say, them people must be drunk. They are not drunk as you suppose. But this is that. What the prophet Joel said, he's pouring out his spirit. He's pouring out his spirit. Somebody say, give me a drink. Glory to God. Woo. Oh, if you only knew. If you only knew. Hallelujah. Oh, glory to God. That woman said, sir, give me this. Give me this. I want some of this. Verse number 15, the woman said, sir, give me this water that I thirst not, and neither come here to draw. I don't want to keep living like this. It's good when you get to the place where you recognize, I don't want to keep living this way. I'm tired of being down. I'm tired of being stressed out. I'm tired of drama every day. I'm tired of going to the court every weekend. I'm tired of it. I want some of this water. Jesus said, okay, now that I got you interested, we got to deal with some things. We got to deal with some issues. I want you to go and go get your husband. Now, see, this woman, she was a woman. I mean, she was a woman. Brother Easter, how you know she was a woman? She had no trouble with men. She had something going on. And she was used to hearing men say those things. You know, men have a way of getting information. You know, I know when I was in the clubs and I see this nice young lady, I call her Fox, you know. I see this nice young fox sitting at the table. I walk over to her and I look her over, and first thing you do, you look at her fingers. And you look at her and say, girl, you out here by yourself tonight? Yes. I can't believe your old man let you get away. That's my way of finding out if she's got somebody. Because she'll say, oh, I ain't got no old man. and that's how, you know, she was thinking, you know, Jesus trying to find out the scoop on her. Go get your husband. She said, I ain't got no husband. Jesus said, you got that right. Because, lady, you done had five husbands, and the one you with now, he ain't married to you. She was like, whoa. Oh, my goodness. How did he know that? See, when God put his x-ray machine on you, you can't hide. You can't run. The dark is like bright light to him. He sees everything. He sees everything. He knows your thoughts before they even come to your mind. You can't fake it with God. And she was like, oh, I perceive. Wait a minute. Let me get in the scripture. Look at this. Verse number 19. A woman said to her, sir. They go, sir, again. Sir, I perceive thou art a. He went from a Jew to sir, and now a prophet. Yes. You're a man of God. You're a man of God. And it's funny how people act when they find out you're a Christian. They get religious on you. And that's why I hope there ain't no car salesman. Any car salesman here? Yeah, car salesman. Something else, man. I pulled up on the lot to look for a car, and man, I mean, they came out like sharks. They were all around me, and this one guy said, hey, man, I got the car for you, man. I know what you're looking for. I size you up. I know what fits you. This car right here. I'm like, oh, that's cool. Come on, man, let's go for a ride. He gave me the keys. Come on, man, you drive. Go, let's go. I got in the car, man. We driving down the highway. Get on the interstate, man. Rev it up. Put some speed on it, man. Man, this thing got power. I'm like, oh, okay, I believe you, bro. I believe you. He was like, man, this car is you, man. All the honey is going to be chasing you in this car, man. And I'm just like, looking at him, you know. Man, this thing got some stereo. Oh, man, you didn't hear no sound. He turned the music on and boom, 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 boom. He started, man, he was going on and rapping and carrying on. Then he let a little few curse words come out, you know. And he boom, boom, boom. Hey, man, this is awesome. Bro, where you work at, man? I'm a preacher. You a preacher? Gospel station. Praise the Lord. I ain't buying nothing from this dude. And when people recognize you're spiritual, you're religious, they try to get spiritual on you. That's what this woman did. Oh, you a prophet, huh? Our fathers worship in this mountain. Uh-huh. And y'all say Jerusalem is the place to worship where men ought to be praying and having church. Jesus said, lady, they ain't got nothing to do with nothing. It's not in the mountain. It's not in Jerusalem. But the time now is true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth. Hallelujah. Don't be coming to me trying to be all spiritual. That don't impress me. I can tell a fake. Somebody said, well, you got to study fake to know fake. No, study truth and you'll know fake. Amen. Boy, she was trying to be all spiritual, and the Lord just said, look. He said, woman, God is a spirit. They that worship him must worship him in spirit and truth. It's not a building. It's not a denomination. Verse 25, the woman said, I know Messiah coming. I know we're living in the end times. Jesus said, listen, lady. Oh, she said, when the Messiah come, he gonna tell us all things. And I love this. Jesus gave her a revelation. Verse 26, he said, lady, I did speak unto thee am he. I'm the one you're looking for. I'm the one you've been waiting for. I believe that's the word of God for somebody in here this day. God is telling you right now, I'm the one. All that you've been waiting for, you've been going to this church, you've been to that church, you visited this group, you've been over to that group, you're trying to find things, spirituality and all that. I am he. I am here. I am the living water. You don't need to look no further. This is it. I'm here to tell somebody, you've got it right here. You don't need to go no other place. You don't need to go to no other church. Today is the day of salvation, and this is your hour right now. Hallelujah. And upon this, the disciples came from getting food, and they didn't ask no questions. I guess they was wondering, what is he talking to that woman for? But they ain't say nothing. Verse 28, the woman, she left the water pot, and she went her way into the city, and she saith to the man. She ain't talking to no ladies. She went to the men. She said, hey! Y'all need to come see a man. He told me everything about myself. He's not like nobody you've ever met in your life. You need to come see a man. Hallelujah. And the whole city came out to see Jesus. Something beautiful about this. One thing that relates to me out of this story is this part right here where once she got the revelation that he was the Messiah, I love what she did. She put down her pot. I did too. I did too. Because when you get in contact with the real living Savior, you'll put down your pot. You'll put down your alcohol. You'll put down your running around. When you get in contact with the living Savior, things are going to change. Old things are passed away. Behold, everything become new. You ain't got to carry that burden around no more. Put the pot down. Put the drugs down. Put the running around down. Jesus come to set you free. You can be free. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. And I'm telling you, today is the day.
Yeah.
You can be like that woman, or you can still just sit there and look for another. But there is not another. Amen.
Amen.
And in closing, this woman, she had problems. She had issues like everybody else. She was trying to find the answer. She was trying to find her answer, obviously, in men. Oh, if I could just find the right man, I'll be happy. That's a lie. And we got so many young ladies, and you know, married people, y'all need to leave these single people alone. Married folks be going up to the singles, you ain't married yet. You ain't got nobody. Who you dating, honey? And they try to make you feel weird if you're not dating somebody. You know what I found out? A lot of married people are not happy being married. And they're jealous. Leave these single folks alone. Man, if I could just find the right woman. If I could find the right woman, I'll be happy. No! That's not the source of your happiness.
God is.
God is. And ye are complete in him and nobody else. That's what's missing. That's what you need. You need completion. You need to be made whole. And the only answer is in Jesus Christ. He is the way. He is the truth. He is the life. Glory to God. This woman was trying to find it. She was trying to find it in men. And men was promising her. Men were promising her the world. Oh, girl, let me tell you something. If you were my woman. Oh, sorry. Men be throwing them raps to a man. God broke her heart. He didn't work out. Here comes another one. Girl. You must be a library book because I want to check you out. Oh, I like him. I like him. Married him. That didn't work out. Man after man after man trying to find the right one. 5 times she got married. Divorced till she got sick of it and said, I ain't gonna do it no more. Now she's shacking up. Number 6. But when she found Jesus, number seven. When you get number 7, when you get to number 7, you are complete in him. You don't need nobody else. You don't need to go nowhere else. Jesus is what you're looking for. Ye are complete in him. Play that, sister. The water is starting to get stirred up. I wonder this day, is anybody thirsty? Anybody want that living water? Hey! It's the living water! Drink of this water, you will never
end this service with a call from the book of Isaiah. To the water and drink. Jesus said it like this: if any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. Out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. And I'm going to end this service with that same altar call that Jesus gave. He said, if anyone thirst, that's the only prerequisite. Well, brother, I'm not worthy, and my life's a wreck, and so many things going wrong. Jesus said, if you're thirsty, you qualify. If you're thirsty. Thirst means desire. Desire. Because you're not going to get what you don't want. You got to want it. So anyone that's thirsty, anybody that desires to be filled with the living water, Jesus said, come, come, and let him drink. Amen. Are you thirsty? Are you thirsty? Are you thirsty, brother? Now, he said, when you drink, it shall be in you a river flowing up out of you. He was talking about being filled with the living water, being filled with the Spirit. Blessed are they that thirst, for they shall. Oh, hallelujah. Lord, fill me up. Fill me up. Now, this is how we're going to do it. I'm going to ask everyone that's thirsty, pay close attention. God wants everyone here overflowing when you walk outside. He wants you to be full under the influence. So when you come to the Lord, and many of you have come, you come thirsty. I'm thirsty. I'm thirsty. I'm thirsty. I'm thirsty. Jesus said, now you need to drink. You got to drink. You got to drink. You got to drink. And you can't quench your thirst unless you drink. And when you drink, you've got to open your mouth. Right? Now, some of y'all, some folks come up and say, I want this living water, but I'm going to keep my mouth shut. You're not going to get it. Nobody drinks with their mouth shut. But you open your mouth and you fill it with praise. Loud, audible praise. Oh, man, I'm not comfortable with that. Well, you better get comfortable. But this is how it works. This is not me. This is what God said. For his Spirit inhabits the praises. The more praise you send up vocally, the more Spirit come down. That's the Bible. You're not going to be filled with the Holy Ghost with your mouth closed, not worshiping. And when you open your mouth and begin to praise him with every utterance of praise, whether it's, Lord, you're amazing. God, I love you. I praise you, Lord Jesus. Or if you can't think of anything to say, just say, hallelujah. Hallelujah. And you know what's going to happen? Every time you send up praise, water comes in. Water comes in. Hallelujah. Shh. I praise you. Shh. I love you, Jesus. Shh. Hallelujah. Shh. Hallelujah. Shh. Hallelujah. And you know what began to happen? The water starts building up inside of you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I love you, Lord. I love you, Lord. Hallelujah. 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 And then it's wanting to spring up out of you. And when that water springs up out of you, your language will change to an unknown tongue. We call it the Holy Ghost, speaking in tongues. He said, but I don't understand that. You won't understand it. It's another language. But what's going to happen? I'm going to make it real simple for you, because everyone in here needs to be filled. Everybody. I'm going to make it real simple. I'm speaking in tongues right now. Anybody know what tongue it is? Right. I'm speaking in English. That's a tongue. Tongue means language. Now, I'm going to yield my tongue to speak another language. I choose to speak. I'm going to choose to speak German. Gesundheit. Volkswagen. Frankfurter. It's German. But when I spoke it, I chose. Nobody's going to make you speak in tongues. You got to yield, cooperate with the Holy Ghost. And when I spoke in tongues, when I spoke in German, I yielded my tongue. In other words, I chose to not speak English, because you can't speak two languages at the same time. So that's what's going to happen. When God fills you with the Holy Ghost in an unknown tongue, you're going to yield your tongue. Keep speaking, keep talking, but stop speaking English or whatever language you understand, and allow that new language to flow out. Speaking in another language that you don't understand. It takes faith to do that. It takes faith to do anything with God. We're getting ready to baptize someone here in a moment. But while they're preparing, would you lift your hands right now toward heaven? The Holy Ghost is here. The living water is here. Lift up your hands, and I want you to lift up your voices and give God the greatest praise. Drink in the Spirit and let that new language come. In the name of Jesus and by the authority of the Word of God, receive, 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 ye the Holy Ghost. Lift up your voices. Praise ye the Lord and receive the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Come on, drink it, drink it. Open your mouth, open your mouth, open your mouth. Look at this, look at this. She's filled with the Holy Ghost. She's talking in tongues. Go, let it go. Bless His holy name. Be filled in the name of Jesus. Loose your tongue, let it go. Oh, speaking in tongues. That's it, brother. Drink it in. Drink it in. Let that language flow. Speak it out. Speak it out. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Come on, young people. Lift up your voice. Make a joyful noise unto the Lord. Drink it in. Drink it in. The seventh man. He's in the house. Ministers will go and lay hands on you, pray for you. In the name of Jesus, get all you want. Get all you need. Be filled. Be filled. Be filled. In Jesus' name. If you need to be baptized in the name of Jesus, come on up. Let us baptize you in Jesus' name. And you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. The living water is here today. Glory to God. Glory to God. And now, let's give the Lord a great hand clap of praise for the souls that are being won to the kingdom.